Hey, we're in this sermon series that I started called All the Feels, and I'll tell you what happened. I was praying about where we go. I felt like we had a good, strong sermon series during the break, and I knew that whatever we started was going to kind of overlap. And I just felt like the more I prayed about it and thought about it, I just felt more and more convicted that one of the things that we all have been experiencing over these last few weeks, and then we see it on a national level, is a struggle emotionally. Because we've had a broad range of emotions. You see that on Facebook, you see that on the news media, and everything else. And you know that term, all the feels? It's a slang term to describe an overwhelming emotional reaction. And we're having all the feels right now in our country. And whether it's the pandemic or the race and riots and protesting or job losses or isolation, we're all feeling it. We all have the feels. And so we're trying to figure out in this series, what's God's word say about how I deal with my feelings? What does God's word say about how I deal with all my emotions right now, all these emotions that I'm having and all these things that I'm going to? Because when you can't turn on, you know, the news media without, you know, finding a lot of negativity in the world. You read much of social media, that can be very discouraging. You can't read a news app without being depressed. You can't talk to people without hearing some heartbreaking stories that can really dishearten you. And it seems like there's so much polarization because all this, unfortunately, involves, we get political about all this stuff and wedges get driven in between people, and there's a lot of hate and a lot of anger, a lot of sadness and a lot of distrust out there. So we've got all of these things, and they cause us to be discouraged. And it just seems like, you know, when you can't bump into anybody who's not going through something. Just about everybody that you encounter is going through something that may not be obvious from the outside. Especially when you got a mask on, right? You can't really read people's faces. Some of you this morning probably had to be reminded, I don't know who that is in that mask over there, do you? And because they're a little hard to tell. They hide a lot. But we hide a lot of what's going on. And I don't know about you, but I think it's time that we as believers, somehow in the midst of this world that is all an emotional turmoil, that we need to be a source of inspiration, that we need to be a source of hope, that we need to bring words of encouragement in a world that feels very discouraged. And here's something I really believe. You have no idea what God might do through a single word of encouragement. You have no idea what a single word of encouragement that you give to somebody else, the impact that it have, especially right now in the world in which we live. You don't know how God could use you to build hope into someone else's life. I need encouragement. I mean, to deal with all the stuff that I go through. I was reading the other day, I don't know if you're familiar with Job. Job and his friends, they were terrible friends. If you don't know Job, he's got his whole book in the Old Testament there. And in that, Job is a very godly man, right? And then the enemy attacks. Satan asks God, you know, let me take away all the good blessings in his life and he won't follow you. And so Satan attacked Job and he took all of his stuff, all of his wealth that he had. He brought disasters on his children and his grandchildren. They all died. And you know, his friends, when they came to talk to him, his friends kind of got up into his business. And they said, look, you got it. Listen, Job, just admit that you've done something wrong. Nothing this bad happens to people unless they've done something wrong. You must have done something. And so, you know, you need to either ask for forgiveness, you need to acknowledge it. You know, you're going through this because of your sin. Or, you know, maybe you just, it's so bad, you should just curse God and die. So negative. I mean, there's enough people in the world like that today that you don't need them for friends, do you? And I don't know if you've got friends like that. But anyway, and I love how Job responded to them. In Job chapter 16, verse 2, he said this. Job says this to his friend, I have heard all this before. What miserable comforters you are. Have you ever felt like saying that to a friend sometime? Right? They just seem to make it worse. Listen, this, you need to write down this verse somewhere. I have heard all this before. What miserable comforters you are. And then look what he says. Won't you ever stop blowing hot air? Have you ever wanted to say that to somebody? Won't you ever quit blowing hot air? What makes you keep on talking? Shut up. You're driving me crazy here. You're making this worse for me. And then he says this in verses 4 and 5. He says, I could say the same things if you were in my place. I could spout off criticism and shake my head at you. But if it were me, I would encourage you. I would try to take away your grief. If it were me, I'd want to encourage you. I'd want to take away your... Now, you're adding to my burden. And that's not good for a friend to do. Because, see, our words can either uplift or our words can crush. Matter of fact, Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue can bring life and the tongue can bring death. Right? We know it. And I want my words to build your faith. I want my words for my friends. I want them to instead of tearing them down, I want them to strengthen their confidence in God, to believe that God's for them, to believe that God's with them and not against them, that he's working. As followers of Jesus, I think God wants us to encourage each other and build one another's faith, because everyone you see is facing a battle that you know nothing about. Every one of us is. We're facing something. The author of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 3:13. You must encourage one another each day. Not every now and then, or not when you think about it, or not when you've got time, or not when you've got some extra stamps and can write them a note. It doesn't even say that you should encourage each other whenever the Spirit prompts you. What's he say? You must encourage one another each and every day. As a principle and a matter of life, just that, you've got to do that. Why? Because if you don't, next, there you go. If you don't, then sin may fool some of you and make you stubborn. And some of you are stubborn enough. Some of you forgot about my humor. Sorry. Listen, you know what the NIV says, that last, make you stubborn? It says that sin may harden you. Because sin lies to us, and it distracts us, and it destroys us, it tears us down, it discourages us, right? Sin tells you what you don't have. Sin tells you that you'll never be happy, that you won't measure up. And we all face this battle with discouragement every single day, don't we? I don't know about you, whether it's the enemy from without, or sometimes even the things that we just tell ourselves, our own internal talk. I mean, we hear those voices inside of us that go, you know, you're not going to measure up. You're not good enough. You can't get it all done. There's too much here. You're going to fail. There's not a day that goes by that most of us don't experience some discouragement and negative feelings in our lives of some sort, either from our enemy outside of us or our own brokenness within us. And since I need encouragement all the time, Since I need people to encourage me, and I believe you need people to encourage you, I need to freely give encouragement. I need to freely give it because I need it. I assume you probably need it too. And therefore, we need to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, it says in the NIV, so that we're not distracted by sin's deceitfulness. Now, when I talk about encouragement, some of you are like going, well, that's just not me, Pastor. I'm just not built like that. You know, I was raised by a bunch of crudgermutchins, and I don't know if you know what that is, but anyway, I was raised by a bunch of negative people, and so I just don't do that. That's just not part of my makeup, you know, because encouragement's not my gift, you know. Well, listen, I'm just not good at it. Well, listen, I want you to know that there was a time in your life when you weren't good at walking either, right? You had to learn to walk. I mean, I know you think it's natural now, but our 18-month-old granddaughter, Brylin, just as the COVID thing was hitting, she was starting to walk. You know how you do? You know, you take those first steps, and you do that Frankenstein kind of thing, you know? And I'm finding the older I get, that's kind of probably where I'm headed anyway. But so we kind of start that way, we kind of end that way. But that's what she does. But she's been practicing. And now that COVID's been going on these last 3 months, she can run. She runs so fast around the house, I can't even catch her. So that's another problem we have. But, you know, but you listen, you had to learn to walk. and you fell down sometimes. But you persisted because, as far as I know, most of you walked in here this morning. Good job. And you learned that. And you know what? You can learn to be encouraging. It's not a spiritual gift. It's something that we can do. It's something we need to do every single day. Because one of the most valuable tools you can learn, a necessity in the body of Christ, a gift to those around you, is the gift of encouragement. So how do we learn how to do that? How do we learn how to do that? Well, first of all, let me give you a principle. That's this simple rule. If you think something good, say it. If you think something good, say it, express it. The moment you think anything positive about somebody, text them, call them. You know those little text boxes that you have that you use? You can also bring phone calls on them. Lou Anne, during this COVID crisis, said, I'm bringing the phone call back, you know, because we've just gotten used to it. But text them, call them, write them a note, send them an email, reach out to somebody. Express your love, express your encouragement, express something good. The moment you think something good, show it, spray it, just share it, express it. Why in the world, would you deny somebody a blessing? Why would you withhold that instead of blessing somebody else's life? One of the best things that you can do for your relationships, if you're married, is be encouraging. Can I get an amen? Amen. That says nothing about your spouse sitting beside you. I'm just saying, that's a good principle for marriage. Hey, now, listen, as a parent, one of the best things you can do is encourage your kids. Listen, kids, I got to tell you something. I got grown kids, and one of the best things my kids do for me is encourage me. We need encouragement in our relationships. Your neighbor may need it. You need it in your community group. Oh, man, we need it in the church so sorely. We need encouragement. We need to set the blessing free. I think it's Craig Rochelle said, you know, he had this idea he wanted to live out, that for every negative word that he said, he would say 100 positive words to somebody. Because usually it's backwards, right? We say 100 negative words and maybe one encouraging one. And you may say, well, you know what? That's impossible. You don't know the person I'm married to. Listen, and you don't know their mother. You don't know my mother-in-law. So that's difficult, Pastor. I mean, you haven't met my boss, and you don't live with my kids, and you don't live with my parents. But Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. Think about how different your relationships would be if you spoke beautiful gifts of encouragement. Think about how much faith people might have around you if every time you thought something good, you blessed them and set it free. And you never, ever let ugly, sarcastic, unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Think of the spiritual confidence that God could give if we encouraged one another and built each one another up. Because here's the deal. Everyone that you see is fighting a battle that you know nothing about. Everyone. This can change and revolutionize your marriage. It could change the way you parent. It could change our church. It can change our neighborhoods. We need to be encouraging. And if you think something good, say it. In a world full of so much criticism, so much hatred, so much disappointment, so much negativity, as people of the light, we need to lift up others that are around us. Here's something else you can do. Encourage yourself. That may seem a little bit self-serving, but here's what I think. Hard for you to give something you don't have. And so we need to encourage ourselves. I don't know about you, but since everyone's facing a battle they know nothing of, that probably includes me. Probably includes you. You know, I deal with discouragement all the time. And I found that sometimes the person that needs the most encouragement is often me. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you do this or not. You ever look at people and think they got it all together? They have the perfect life. I'm gonna pick on them for a minute. But, you know, you see the Snavelys on a boat in the middle of COVID. And that their boat looks very similar to Jerry Jones' yacht to me. There's a lot of similarities. And better than the boat I have. So you think they got no problems. They got nothing. Everything's great in the Snavely household. They got it all together. But you guys got stuff, right? Yeah. The girls are really shaking their head. Anyway, we all got stuff. And we look on the outside so much. And here's our problem in our country right now. This speaks to the racism and other things, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks, but we make judgments about one another. And sometimes we make judgments about, well, they got it all together, so I don't really need to be encouraging to them. If anything, they ought to be encouraging to me. But the reality is that if we would stop and think, you know what, I need encouragement so that I can give others encouragement, everybody around me, not just because I think and I judge that they need it, but as a matter of practice, I need to be an encouraging person, so that means I need to encourage myself. David did this. I want you, in Samuel, 1 Samuel 30, there's a story there, and the context of it's this. David and all his men went to fight their enemy, right? And when they left to go fight the enemy came, some other people came, and burned their hometown to the ground, and took all the women and children off with them, kidnapped them. And so you can imagine, they've been out here fighting this battle, David and his men, and they come back home and their hometown is burned to the ground, and their spouses and their kids are all been carted away. So the men were very, very upset. And so they decided that, you know, they needed somebody to blame, and so they blamed David. Hey, this is your fault. If you hadn't taken us over here to fight, this wouldn't happen to our kids. This wouldn't happen to our hometown. And so it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. All this fear and all these things started coming towards David, and in the midst of that, I got to tell you, I've been in those board meetings. And so it's like, I got to get out of here. I got to get away. I'm sure David was thinking about, you know, I got to save my life. I'm sure he was full of fear. But instead of running away, look what he did. He said, David found strength in the Lord his God. Now that phrase found strength comes from a Hebrew word. It's chazak. Sounds Klingon, doesn't it? I could hear that in Star Trek. It's chazak. It means to tell yourself to be strong. The word implies that you're talking to yourself. In fact, the King James, it translates it this way, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what we're talking about. He encouraged himself. He spoke to himself. He told himself of the faithfulness of God. He preached to himself about the goodness of God. He reminded himself of the provision of God. All these guys are going to stone him. And instead, he found strength in the Lord. He got his chazak back. He started telling himself, God's got me and God's got this. When David got the feels, when those negative emotions began to overcome him, when everything in his eyes was hopelessness and discouragement, he encouraged himself and he preached to himself. He built himself up, not in himself. He didn't have confidence in him. He encouraged himself in the things of the Lord. He got his chazak back. And some of you need to get your chazak back, because it's been really damaged and depleted over the last 3 months. You gotta encourage yourself, not in the situation. It's not dependent on whether the situation's good or bad. David's situation was horrible. It's not in other people. It's not even in yourself. Like I'm not talking about self-belief, but you have confidence in God. And look what happened because of this. Verse 8, then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. When did a word of victory come to David? When did the word of victory come that you're going to get through this? And yeah, after David got his chazak back. He encouraged himself in the things of God. And some of you need a word. Turn to the person beside you and just say, get your chazak back. Get the chazak back. I'm hoping maybe one of you will do, what do they do? The stitching in the pillow, you know, you get chazak in a pillow. But anyway, get your chazak back. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord, or else you won't be able to encourage anybody else. Have you noticed that positive words are so difficult to remember and that negative words are so difficult to forget? I could have 10 people in the hallway compliment me on something, my shirt, my shoes, my hair. That didn't happen often. But I could have 10 people compliment me on something about our church in the foyer. on Sunday afternoon, and then one person come along with the dumbest thing they're upset about. I'm sorry, some of them are dumb. They're off point. They're not a big deal. Somebody blows something up. You know what I'm thinking about the rest of the afternoon? The one thing. Matter of fact, I'm not weird, okay? I am some, but not in this, because they did this study. They did this study on brains, and here's what they found out. Neurologists will tell you that your brain is almost presupposed to believe the negative immediately. Somebody says something negative, your brain absorbs it. But it takes a full 15 seconds of focusing on anything positive before you even start to believe the positive. It's so difficult to remember something positive, and it's so difficult to forget something that's negative. That's why what you say to yourself matters. Because when you read, and we see this in David's life. Matter of fact, there's three times in David's life when you read the Psalms that he says this, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul?" Three times. He's talking to himself, "Why, soul, are you down? Why are you so hurt? Why are you so beat? Why are you so depressed?" And David, all three times, you know what he says? Put your hope in the Lord. Why are you downcast, soul? Put your hope in the Lord. This is David messing with his Chazak here. He's trying to his self-talk. Why are you depressed? Why are you down when you know the faithfulness of God? And I would say this to you, that some of us need to ask the same thing. When you get down, when you get beat, when you get discouraged, we need to look and say, you know what? Why also downcast my soul? I got all those words mixed up, but you get the idea. You know, while we were filming, she was in the room, and I think Chris kept telling her, he said, you need to stay quiet. But one time she laughed out loud. I think Sean caught it because everybody thought it was Chris, actually. But anyway, your self-talk. Put your hope in the Lord. Put your faith in God. Put your trust in Him. He's always with you. He said He'll never leave you. He'll never abandon you. He is for you. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Maybe that's what you need to put on the pillow when you stitch it. What David didn't say was, "You got this, David." You know, we used to have a thing when I was a kid, like man up, just man up, which meant just come on, man, suck it up and get on with it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about, you know, the power of positive thinking or putting your hope in yourself. We're talking about putting your hope in God. Get your Chazak back. Talk to yourself. Preach to yourself. Whenever you look on the news and it says, man, the world is coming to an end, rather than get all depressed, go, hey, oh my soul, don't be so, listen, remember who God is. Put your hope in Him. Preach to yourself. My God is my provider. My God is my protector. My God is all powerful. He knows. He's ever present. He's working and moving in all of this. And the Word says that He's working and moving in my life for good. When that voice says you're in trouble, be afraid, your relationships are going to break down, you're going to fail, you know, say, no, God's working. And He's for me, not against me. And whenever you find yourself depressed and discouraged and afraid, tell yourself what the Bible says. Oh, there's so many things. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I am blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. My sins have been forgiven. I'm a child of the living God. I used to have a buddy of mine, Mark, in college, used to say, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I thought, you are being so corny right now. I mean, in college, but I'll tell you what, there are times when I start to get down and the enemy tries to tell me I'm, you know, no taller than a curb. I have to remember I'm a son. I'm of the Most High God. We need to remember what the Word, who the Word says that we are. I am the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. My sinfulness has been separated from me as far as the east is from the west. I'm the salt of this earth. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. My God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And oh, I love this one. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why should we, as people of faith, walk around like we're defeated and like we're beaten and like we're whipped? We need to get our Chazak back. We need to preach to ourselves because of what God did for us and because of who he is in us, I need to encourage myself so that then I can be an encouragement to others. We'll be a voice of encouragement in a world of discouragement. Do you know what the world needs right now more than anything else? It needs love. It needs compassion. It needs Christians to bring light into the midst of darkness. Let me ask you something. If it were up to you, would you be the biggest voice of encouragement this side of heaven? I mean, if it was up to you, would you be the biggest voice of encouragement this side of heaven? Well, I have news for you. It is up to you. He's done it all for you. You've just got to listen to his voice and quit listening to the voice of the enemy. You need to get your Chaz act back. You need to remember God's presence in your life gives you everything you need to be the biggest encouragement to people in this world. God loves you more than you can know, like we sing about today. His promises are for you. He's on your side. He is right there beside you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And before you think, well, hey, this is a great rah-rah message. Woo, go team. That's not my hope for this morning. This is serious about the Spirit doing this in our lives. And for some of us this morning, we need to let God uproot that spirit of judgment and condemnation and that spirit of anger and that spirit of not feeling good about ourselves. And we need to have a spiritual makeover this morning and let the Holy Spirit clean out all that gunk so that we can have our Chaz act back, so that we can remember what God has done for us. And as we remember what God has done for us, be encouraged this morning so that you can be an encouragement to yourself on Thursday when you're at work and something bad happens. Or you can, on Tuesday when something happens in your marriage relationship, rather than be at each other's throats, you can be encouraging to one another. We need for the Holy Spirit to come and work in us and uproot all that gunk that makes us discouraged, all those words that the enemy puts in there, all of our self-esteem stuff that tears us down. And we just need to believe what the Word says, what the Spirit says. We need to get our Chaz act back this morning and be an encouragement to one another. I need it. You need it. The people sitting beside you need it. The people at work are going to need it this week. Our neighborhood needs it. Our country needs it right now. Let's be that source of encouragement in people's lives. Will you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning as a people. Our world needs its Chaz act back. We need to encourage ourselves in you this morning. God, there's somebody sitting here this morning, perhaps, or watching the video of this later, who feels totally defeated and frustrated. Matter of fact, the enemy has so defeated and frustrated them that they don't believe they can live for you. So they've given up, maybe walked away from Christianity. Maybe the enemy's been telling them, there's no way God loves you that much. You're a failure. You've messed up. You've lost all your chances. But God, this morning, I pray they get their Chaz act back. I pray this morning, God, they would encourage themselves in your word, which says that you love them and that, Father, there's nothing they can do where you can't bring them back, that you can't forgive. There's no place they can go so far that you can't bring them back to you. And that right now, this moment, they can ask you to forgive them for their sins. And you, Father, will forgive them because of what Jesus did on the cross. That we can ask you to let what Jesus did on the cross count for us. And forgive us for our failures, our faults. Forgive us for our sinfulness and our selfishness. And wipe it all away right now. Just ask him. He'll do it. Father, there are some of us who have been really down. Our self-talk has been brutal. The enemy has filled our minds and our hearts. We've been listening to the news and all the political debate and all the stuff on Facebook, and our minds and our hearts are so full of junk. And God, our self-talk hasn't been very good. God, we need our Chaz act back this morning. God, will you forgive us for absorbing all that stuff in our life. And will you help me this morning to lay aside all the things the enemy says about me, all the things the enemy puts in my head about me and about my relationship with you, and help me to believe that I am who you say I am, that I can do what you say I can do, and that despite everything that the enemy says, you got me. You've got me. There's nothing you and I together can't overcome. I want to believe that this morning, God, that there's nothing in my life, right? So whatever it is in my life that's causing me pain and worry and trouble and heartache, I just lay it down at your feet right now. And I say, God's got it. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And you've got this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe your word today, what you said about me. So give me my Chazak back today, Father. And Lord, there's maybe somebody, all of us maybe this morning, as we think about our church and the kind of church we want to be and what we want to become in our world and our community, I pray, God, that you will make us known for our encouragement of one another. That when folks come in this place, they'll know that no matter what, they're going to find encouragement here. They're going to find love here. They're going to find grace here and mercy. And that we give that to one another. Make us the most gracious, encouraging church in the world. Help us to be that this week in our community, in our workplaces, in our world, in our neighborhoods. May we go and be encouragers, shaped and formed and modeled after Jesus Christ our Lord. For it was in his heart to lift up those who were down, to encourage those who were discouraged, to give hope to those who were hopeless. Oh God, I pray for every one of us in this room this morning. May that be us this week. In a dark world, let us be light. And God, we ask and we pray all these things in the strong, strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you ask Christ into your heart this morning, either here or on the video, I would love to know about that. I'd love to know what God's doing. Maybe there's something big in your life you've been discouraged about. Email me this week. If God's done something good in your life, please encourage this old preacher, okay? Let me know. Set the blessing free. I want to hear about it. You need to tell others about it. Another thing I want to do this week, if you'd like to try this with me, for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years, I have my my date book. I do 3 months at a time, and in it, every date book, I ran across Craig Rochelle does some affirmations that he prays through in his own devotional life, and so I print those off and I put them in the back of my devotional book and I go over them. I take 2 or 3 a day. Helps remind me who I am. So here's what I want to do. If you feel like you need that, it would be good for you to get a daily affirmation. It'll have a scripture with it as well. It's just a real short thing. I want you to text the word affirm to 785-914-0052. When you text that, you should get a text back that says you're in it. And then at 7 a.m., and if that's too early for some of you, you know, put it on silent. But at 7 a.m., Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day, you're going to get a scriptural affirmation about who you are in Christ to help you get your day started. They've made a difference in my life, and I think they can make a difference in your life too, in helping you to encourage yourself so then you can go and encourage others this morning. Well, I want you to stand with me this morning, if you will. I want to give you a blessing, a benediction. It's actually something from scripture that has been put into a song, and so don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. I don't do chanting. I'm bad at it. I'm off key. But I want to give you this today as you go out, a benediction. I want to give you this blessing as you go out this week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. May you see his face everywhere you go. And may you feel his grace in everything that you do. May his peace abound to you. His name reigning over you, his name victorious in your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you with the cross ever before you. May you seek his ways in all of your days, and may his peace abound in you. Wave to one another. We're going to ask you to move into the parking lot instead of hanging out in the hallway. And so, but thank you for coming today. And God bless you and keep you. Have a great week. See you next week.